Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
And Father, we thank you that you're the hope of this world. In all of it, in individual people's lives, as well as the world scale, you are our only hope. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have called the church to be a minister and an ambassador of that hope. And I thank you, Lord God, that the church is not a building, it's a people. And I pray that us as a people would be ministers and ambassadors of the hope found in Jesus. May you now, Lord, by your grace, direct our attention to your word, that by your Spirit, that you would prophetically speak to me and through me to your people, and that you would bring about not just information, but transformation. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. If you would, please turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll be starting in verse 9 with a focus on verse 13. It's on page 948 in the Pew Bibles. If you need a Bible, please take that Bible home. The good news in taking that particular Bible is that you'll always know where to be able to turn because we have the page numbers for you, especially if you're not familiar with the Bible. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, all the way down to 13. And once you're there, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we now commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right, as review, this is, we see all the way back in chapter 12, verse 1, that there is a therefore. I appeal to you, therefore. Now, this is a review. I know that this is something that we've talked about, but I don't want to lose sight of the importance of understanding the gospel up front, that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose. We see in the first part of Romans, we are without hope. We are desperate, completely gone, hopeless, but Jesus. And then we have this understanding of faith in Christ, that we believe that his death is sufficient for us to be forgiven of our sins, and that by his resurrection, his life is now, his righteousness is now imparted to ours. According to Colossians, our lives are hidden in Christ. He is our life. And then we see the Holy Spirit and the victory found. The Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, dwells inside of us by faith so that we can have the victory. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who could be against us? And then we see through Romans 9, the sovereignty of God. Romans 10, the responsibility of man. Romans 11, this interesting understanding of being grafted in and to walk in humility, because what a joy it is to be chosen by God. Amen. Therefore, that's Romans 12. Because of all that, therefore. Now, what's the therefore, therefore? Gospel. And then what does it say? It says that we are called to be a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable response to all that amazing truth we just read. And that we are called to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we do this? How do we become a living sacrifice, our reasonable response? How do we get transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may understand God? by seeing the following verses as the way. What way? The Jesus way. This is review. See, this, the Jesus way is not just about faith, not just about faith in the gospel. It is primary and starts us on this journey and continues us on this journey. But the Jesus way is a way of life. It's the life Jesus died for us to have. Let's start living it. May we be genuine and authentic in our love for God and others. May we evade evil and grasp good. Love others with kindness and honor. May we be ambitious, eager, and enthusiastic. May we serve the Lord. That we would be happy and hopeful, patient in the process, and men and women of prayer. And this Sunday, that we would be generous and hospitable. These are not poetic homilies to simply encourage us for an hour or so, but directives from Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to answer the question, how now shall I live? I've experienced the grace of God through the cross of Christ. Now what? Here are your marching orders. They are to be worked on, developed, and sought after. These are not suggestions, but orders from the Lord. Therefore, we order our lives around them. Again, Jesus has died so you may live. He has risen to grant you power through the Spirit with resurrection life. It's the life Jesus died for us to have. Let's start living it. So look to the list. Where do we need to adjust, correct, receive? As we talked about this morning in Sunday school, that the Word of God has this ability to not only teach us, but rebuke us. Say, hey, you're going off course. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, breathed out by God Himself. We look to the scriptures in these things in the text, and we see them as a mirror, and if we do not reflect them in our own lives, then we repent and change. Today's message I'm titled, Open Up the Door. I saw a clip that we're going to watch here in just a second up on the screen. It's from Jesus Revolution. It's a story of Calvary Chapel and kind of how they started with all the Jesus freaks in the 60s with Greg Laurie and all these guys. And in it, you're going to see Chuck Smith, who is the kind of old school Baptist pastor. And all these people have flooded into his house. And it starts with a conversation about what they're going to do with all these people. And then you'll see the change. Go ahead and direct your attention to the screen.
Chuck, there's more of them. What are you going
to
do?
I don't know. I guess I'm just going to have to ask them to leave.
Sounds great.
Excuse me, who are you?
Hi, Chuck. That's Ron. This is Mickey. That's Lynette at the table.
Hey, Ron.
New brothers and sisters. Hope it's okay. They stay here, too.
Isn't it great, Dad?
No, it's not. Oh.
And I'm Connie.
Yes, my wife, Connie.
You're married.
Wow, you're a real pastor, huh? That's a trip. We're going to have some questions for you, mister.
Maybe later.
Are they camping in my yard?
Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about them. They're used to it. They don't mind. Right. Wait till you see who's in here.
What have you done to my home? What are these people doing here?
Met them at a coffee shop in Newport.
Hey, man. Nice house.
What are they doing in my house?
Because I have this idea. If you want to reach my people, you need to speak to them in a language they understand.
If I bring them into my church, I'm going to lose my job.
Just listen, huh? Sit here. Hey, guys, can we just give them a taste, huh?
In my weakness, you always make me strong. All I want gonna do now is praise you all day long. Since I opened up the door, I can't think of anything else but you anymore. Since I opened up the door,
when Jesus is the center and the goal is worship, the inconveniences of living an open door lifestyle begins to fade. Did you see the change in Chuck's heart? It's like, man, you guys, those guys camping in my yard? What, are you kidding me? Yeah, they're used to it. Oh, okay. And he's ready to kick these guys out of their house. But what softened his heart and all the inconveniences of all the things that having these hippies in his home? Worship. Man, when I opened up the door to Jesus, can't stop praising. Love that. And I love the look when he looks to his wife. He looks over at his daughter because his daughter was struggling with the church, and here she is praising God again. And his heart just melted. Oh, that our hearts would have Jesus as the central motivation and with the goal of seeing this broken, dark world come to the light of Christ and worship the God who deserves all praise. And if that is our goal, the inconveniences that come with being hospitable, with contributing to the needs of others, they begin to fade. Let's jump into our text. Romans 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. A very simple text. Now, the word contribute in the Greek, these are all from the Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament, basically a translation. Contribute means to share one's possessions with the implication of some kind of joint participation and mutual interest. To share. It comes from two words, fellow participant. It implies fellowship or sharing with someone or in something. It's actually the root word of koinonia, which is our word for fellowshipping with one another. And what we see in this is it's like, what are we, so there's a sharing, and it's sharing in what? It's sharing in needs. And so when we have, we give. This is what it looks like to have an open door life. Galatians 6:6. Let the one who is taught the word share in all good things with the one who teaches. It's one of the verses that we get on why we pay our pastor. Then we see Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ, to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What's interesting is that word supply is the same word. My God will share every need of yours. He will supply. And what's interesting when I read that verse, it's like, well, if God's just going to supply it, why? Well, because he uses the church to do it. Oftentimes. Sometimes. It's this crazy providential. Any guys ever like in a hard financial situation receive an unknown check in the mail? I have. It's mind-blowing. But it's also not just sharing in needs. It's more this idea of contribute or to be a fellow participant in. Look at 1 Timothy 5:22 up on the screen, a different use of it. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. And so it's a sharing of. It's this idea of like, what are you fellowshipping, taking part, communing in? So be careful. And then I love this, because I think this summarizes it very well. 1 Thessalonians 2. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share, to fellow participant with not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Is that not a beautiful verse? To having a house, a home, a life that's open. That we're not just going to share my things with you. I'm going to share my very life. I'm going to get to know your story. I'm going to tell you mine. And see, then from that, then we begin to understand what needs are. And if we have the resources, we fill them. I've not only been the giver of fulfilling needs, but I've also been the receiver. When thinking about this situation, I was in, me and my wife, young kids, going through a really tough time. I had my own business doing tile. It was a really slow season of tile, and we were having a hard time paying our bills. Someone let our church that we were a part of know, and then I got a call saying, hey, we need you to come into the office. Now, I thought I was in trouble. When you called me, it's like the principal's office. It's like, uh-oh, what did I say or do now? Here we go. I was just handed an envelope and said, go ahead and take that with you and open up in the parking lot. I said, all right. And I went out to my car and opened it, and it was exactly what we needed to get by that month with a little more. And I just sat in the parking lot and cried. To be able to not only give but receive, this is what we do. We contribute to the needs of others. But it begs the question, why? Not just do it, but because of the therefore. Because Jesus emptied himself out. He shares his life with us. He lived and died and rose so that we could live this kind of life. Live this kind of life. So, what are we sharing? We're fulfilling needs. Look at verse 13 again. Contribute to the needs. That word need is lacking in something. And so we fulfill those needs. But look, it's so interesting. Who do we share with? Saints, God's people. Some translations say Christians. And I love this word because it's, when you study, this is the Greek meaning of the idea of saints. Basically, it's loosely said holy ones. Pertaining to being holy in the sense of superior moral qualities and possessing certain essential divine qualities in contrast with what is human. Isn't it interesting that Paul, through the Holy Spirit, Peter, multiple times in the Bible, that y'all are referred to saints, to as saints? Saint John. Saint Vinny. It's got a nice ring to it. Saint Fred and Carol, that you have been given an identity in Christ, that you are called holy. The same word used in this is in also in 1 Peter 1:16. It says, be holy for I am holy, for he who has called you is holy. Be saintly for I, God, speaking him saintly. And so we have this identity as a side marker of this one word that we have, well, we're called to be saints. And that's by grace and grace alone. Therefore, we live according to who Christ has called us to be. So it's interesting, he says, contribute to the needs of the saints or the people of God. And this is in other places in Scripture. Look at Galatians 10 verse, or 6 verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to, what's it say? All people. But then it classifies, it clarifies, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You see, we are called as a family to take care of ourselves, to fulfill. See, because here's the thing. Here's where it begins to make sense. When we invite someone to church, we're inviting them into our family gathering and a family meal known as communion. And then even this Sunday, Connect Sunday, a real meal. But what are we inviting them to? See, we're known for our what? Our love for one another, as Manny said earlier. That this church may be known for our love for one another. We're also known for fulfilling the needs of each other. I see a need, let's fill it. And this goes to contribute to, it also involves giving to the church. So if you're behind on your tithe, here's a little exhortation for you. But it's not just, I've known couples throughout my life, and Trina and I at one point had this as well, where we created a budget line item for just helping Christians out or helping people out. And sometimes it would get pretty big, and then we'd find a need and be able to just solely bless that person just like we were blessed. Just like we were blessed. And so we're just called to contribute to one another, to contribute to the saints. You see, we open up the door of our lives, and when we do, we're generous. That's the big idea. See, the Bible talks about money and hell the most, or Jesus does. We see it in the Gospels all throughout. Like, the main subjects is money and hell. Why? See, Jesus isn't going, hey, get your checkbooks out. He's saying, I want your heart, and what's fighting for it more than anything else is your greed. And how we fight greed is with generosity. We, with open hands, go. And what's crazy is that I did a sermon one time on giving, and I titled it, it's not what we want from you, it's what God wants for you. It's like, because when we do that, God's like, oh, I'm going to bless that. Because he's living into and he's sowing and reaping. And so with an open hand, we become generous. That's so good. When Jesus is the center and the goal is worship, the inconvenience of living an open door lifestyle, a generous lifestyle, it begins to fade. See, we're to contribute to the needs of the saints, and secondly, to seek to show hospitality. Now, this word seek to show is a very interesting one. To do something with, because in this text, it seems like it's just a nice suggestion. Hey, pursue. Just give it a go. You can do it. But it's actually so much more. To do something with intense effort and with definite purpose or goal. To do with effort, to strive towards. Now, what's so interesting is this word has a positive and a negative use of it. Look at verse 14 in our text. It says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Guess what word is the same word as seek to show or pursue? It's persecute. It's the same exact Greek word. And so it's basically what it says is that because it's using it in the positive sense, it says in verse 13, to seek to show or to pursue with intense effort, what? Hospitality. We'll talk about that in a second. But bless those who persecute you, that same word. Look at what it says in Matthew 23:34. This also is the same word. Therefore, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of you whom you will kill and crucify, and some of you will flog in your synagogues and persecute, pursue from town to town. Now, here's why I say all this. Is it's like hunting. It's like tracking. It's pursual of with intent. So it's not just like, hey, y'all, give it a go. But it's like a hunter tracking down someone that's lost, or like for food or shelter, like going through looking for a lost child. It's seeking and pursuing. That's the intensity that Paul has around this. And what's so interesting is like, seek what, Paul? What am I hunting, pursuing, tracking? He says, hospitality. Hospitality. Hospitality means this, such as receive and show hospitality to a stranger. That is someone who is not regarded as a member of the extended family or close friends. To show hospitality, to receive a stranger as a guest. An idiom or a use of the word is to receive a person at your table. To come to the table. And what's interesting is this verse is a transition where a lot of the commentaries break down that verse 9 through 13 is for the church, how we treat one another. And then 14 down being this transition at the end of 13 is how we treat those outside the church. And so this is a good transition where he says, seek to show, be adamant about with extreme effort towards what? Living an open-door life. Living an open-door life. That we would hunt down hospitality. Come on, somebody. With those in the church, given the context that we're called to be generous with the saints. So it's the same sentence. So in context, not only is it, do we show hospitality to those in the church, but also it begins to transition to those outside of the church. That we would hunt down hospitality. And is this not a part of the Great Commission? To go out and baptize, which is lead people to Jesus, and then go and teach. And so we're called to then, what does this look like? What does this mean for us as a people, as a church, as an individual, to open up the door? You see, because when Jesus is the center and the goal is worship, the inconveniences of having someone over at your house or the energy you have to put out to clean up your home or, you know, whatever, it fades in the background with the hope that someone will come to know Christ through your generosity and hospitality. So we're called to open up the door of our lives, to open up our generosity, to fill needs, to find needs in our church and fill them, to maybe even create a budget to help others out, give to our benevolence funds, earmark it on anything. This includes giving to the church as well.
Bobby, what did they do in Acts? What did the church do in Acts?
They sold their property and gave to all. They shared everything. They shared not only their lives, but all of it. They got rid of their 401ks because someone needed a place to live. Like that kind of like open up, be generous towards. And it's all, now why this command? Again, it comes down to having an open hand because Jesus wants your heart and money's fighting for it. So we're generous. And then we begin to open up our doors to hunt down hospitality. So how do we do this? Man, invite someone over for dinner. Invite some people at your house. See a neighbor walking by, invite them up. Check with your wife first. Have them come in. Hey, can I get an amen, wives? Have people over. Keep Christ central. Share your testimony with a stranger, with a neighbor, with a friend that maybe hasn't heard it. Break out in a worship session. Spend some time praying, not just before you sit down to eat, but afterwards. Seek God together. Start a random Bible study. Have neighbors over. Testify about your faith. This is something that as I studied this week, I'm like, I need to adjust this. And I have all the excuses in the world. I'm busy going to my dad's all the time. In fact, I leave after we eat lunch, going up there to help him out. It's like, I just don't have time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the bandwidth. But in looking at this text, I'm like, I need to hunt down hospitality and open up my door. I need to lead and man, inviting neighbors over, sharing my testimony, saying, because I have no musical talent, going, Manny, can you come over and lead some worship sessions? Like something, You guys were here when I tried to lead the song at Sunrise Service. Yeah, Dana took over, so there you go. So there's that. But like, just point your life centrally around Jesus. Let your goal be worship. And wherever that person is, that stranger, that neighbor, that friend, that other believer in the church, invite them in. Your application is to invite your pastor over for dinner. I'm just kidding. There it is. When Jesus is the center and the goal is worship, the inconveniences of living an open-door lifestyle begin to fade. May we, as a people, be generous and hospitable. Amen. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And we will place the sheep on the right, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer saying, "Yo." I don't know if they'll say yo, but I will. "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, or give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger or welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." It's a quality of being. It's a mark of a Christian to be generous and hospitable. I look forward to that day. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.